Blog Talk Radio.
New shit, I got the new shit, the exclusive. My man Long Loke on deck. Squad life, stand up. Here we go. Long Loke, talk to him, homie.
You already know, man. Up at Smoke Radio. Drop that shit, nigga.
It's loose shit, nigga.
You already know how I'm doing it, man.
Long Loke, man.
I got these bars for y'all niggas.
Let me show y'all niggas how to really do this, man.
Let's do it.
Hop up in the whip, I'm about to make a move. It's time to wake these niggas up, they keep on hitting snooze.
Yeah.
Out in the six, me and my niggas play by different rules.
Yeah.
We keep it G about these hoes, we get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I want that bitch there, cause she got a fat
okay.
ass. Scoop her up like Mickey D's, speeding down the bat pan.
Yeah.
Couldn't even catch a plane, now I'm flying high class.
Yeah.
Gotta keep a lookout for them people up on my ass.
Ooh.
Why you acting like you ain't a hoe with your line ass?
Why?
Knowing you gon' top a nigga down for this damn band. Barney, why you fuck with her? Shorty got a flat ass. Who else gon' bust this drug for me? You? Shit, my bad.
My bad.
I just want the money, baby. Plus, I think it's funny how you criticize another bitch when you ain't getting nothing. Bitches butter down another bitch for fucking with a hustler. This shit might not be for you, baby, but all her bills caught up. Shit, let me watch you grab this half and make it bubble. When I paid your ass last time, this time I'll make it double. If somebody takes something, let me know. I'll make it trouble. And
know.
I keep that banger on me. At that time, I ain't trying to tussle.
Bye-bye.
If you skinny and you weak, get it together. Gain some muscle. Cause I'm skinny, but I'm cut, and on my soul I can rumble. And my mother said, listen, baby, Lonnie, stay humble. It's a jungle. If you run it down their throat, don't fumble. I listen to you, mama, blow kisses to you. If you ever need something, tell me, I'll give it to you. If I ever fall off, remind me I'm a king. And I'm bound to be successful, cause it's in my fucking genes. Lately I've been stuffing all this fucking money in my jeans.
Money.
It ain't never been a question who gon' take one for the team.
No.
Always been a dope rapper, had to wake up from a dream. Now I made this shit reality, my bars are fatality. Used to work at Arby's, 300 was my salary.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks. Now I make that in an hour. See,
yeah.
Take a picture of this king, add it to your
yeah.
gallery.
Yeah.
Take a look
yeah.
at my
yo.
Life, man. I swear this shit is firing.
Okay.
Cuddle
I mean.
Talking, ticket talk, battering my flowering. When I made my first 5 bands, this shit was flattering. Cause I came from nothing. On my soul, I ain't fronting. Played the cards I was dealt. And on my soul, I ain't bluffing. Shit, you ain't never watch your mom but the jug. When she finished, you say, mom, what's the flip?
Hey, mom,
she say, look,
flip?
If I give you $5, you supposed to make 10.
$10?
That's a flip. Took the 5 and you do that shit again.
Okay.
I was taught to hustle, I just ain't know this shit at the moment.
Okay.
Don't front me shit, I don't want to owe you shit, I don't want it.
Okay.
If it's worth down, I'm going for it. Nah, I ain't punting.
Okay.
If your money's short, give me what you got, but I ain't fronting.
Okay.
I don't beef with niggas, I say to myself and get money.
Money.
If you try to rob me, crash, you a dummy.
Bow.
You can't ball like me, cause you ass and it's funny.
Wait.
And I like my money crippin', talking all blue hunnids.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, sir. And we're back up at Smoke Radio. You know what I'm saying? I got a guest on the line right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a hot take. It just came out on the press. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James just signed a 4-year deal for $154 million with the Los Angeles Lakers. I got my man Blaze on the line, and he follows the sport of NBA. You guys know I'm a boxing guy. You know what I'm saying? I just want to ask the brother, like, what's this mean for the NBA? What's this mean for the Lakers? And what's this mean for the West Coast Conference?
How well,
first of all, hold on. Let me give you a nice little, you know what I'm saying? Nice little check-in, you know what I'm saying? We got the homie Blaze here on the check-in.
What's up, y'all?
I'm saying. Just wanted to get your real take on that real quick, you know what I'm saying? Why I got you, you know what I'm saying? I don't get a chance to get you that much, so go ahead and speak your mind and let the people know. And please, if you can, address my questions first.
Right. What's crazy about him going to the West Coast is that it is the West Coast. Coming from the East, where he was pretty much dominant. Now he's on a Laker team, which is usually known for his showtime and all of that. And they got a crazy young nucleus with Brandon Ingram, power forward from Kentucky. They got Kyle Kuzma, young boy they just got out of Michigan, a young center, Mo Wagner. Like, the Lakers got a real nice young nucleus. And what it does is it does what LeBron did whenever they went to Miami. Now that he went out there, like, everybody's going to be scrambling to pretty much build super teams. You're probably going to see DeMarcus Cousins go to the Lakers. And it'll be LeBron and DeMarcus Cousins and a couple of them young boys. Everybody's going to be trying to build super teams now to not only deal with
plays. See, that thing is having live radio. That's what can happen, people. Let me go ahead and try to get the brother back on the line real quick. Let's see here, man. This phone is so janky with it. You know what I mean? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Yeah, and we're back. Had some technical difficulties. That's the thing is, we were not live. That's why we have private shows sometimes, because just in case things like that happen, I can always go back and fix the audio. But again, we were saying that they might be going to go ahead and try to start building super teams now as far as in the league.
Yeah, bro. I think it's only going to enhance basketball. Because when you think about it, one of the things that made Jordan's legend such a legendary thing is there was a bunch of super teams back in the day. Every other team that Jordan played against, whether it was San Antonio or Seattle or
Bad Boys,
Boston, you had the Knicks, you had Golden State, what you had is a bunch of super teams.
Even Sean Kemp and them boys. I mean, I remember that. I mean, I don't know much, but I remember
Ben Baker, Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf, McMahon. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you had most teams had three people that belonged on the All-Star team, on every team, at least three. So what LeBron and them did, well, actually, it started with Boston. But LeBron did it best whenever they went to Miami. And so everybody attributes it to him. But they was really – Lakers had a super team. And everybody – so Boston formed one. What's going on now is everybody – what Golden State did changed the trajectory of everything. Because now you got four all-stars on one team. And so the whole rest of the league now can't afford to go with role players. Everybody – they can't afford to – not hit on players coming out of college. You got to have superstars. You got to come with at least four superstars to line up with a Golden State. And LeBron going to the Lakers means this is his attempt to make his own super team with the Lakers and the way they can spend money. And they have the ability to get to super max contracts. You got DeMarcus Cousins out there. You got J.J. Redick and all them still out there. So what's crazy is to look what's getting ready to happen now and how the dominoes fall now that LeBron's a Laker, to watch who goes joins him. Because the era of the super team is in. That's what it is now.
So you say you're predicting that it is going back to the late 80s, 90s era of basketball where you just have a whole bunch of everybody's
on one team. That's what I'm saying. Like, the 80s, like I said, what made it so great is when you think about those teams, we can all come off the top of our head with any one of the 32 teams that was in the league at that time, except for the Clippers. But you can go off the top of your head to at least three, a lot of times four stars that was on those teams. And nowadays it's not like that. You have one or two stars on a team. And that's why basketball was boring and nobody was tuning in. But now with the super teams, it makes it so exciting that there are no bum games. There are no boring games anymore. You got three or four stars on a team, there's going to be scoring. One guy can be off. The other three are on. then you still have role players. So you're always guaranteed somewhere between 85 and 100 points in a game. And it's just going to be exciting basketball. And him leaving Cleveland, that makes – and especially going to the West Coast, because now you're tilting it. I mean, he could have stayed in the East Coast and made it easy for himself. As long as he stayed in the East Coast, he's almost guaranteed to see the Warriors every year in the finals. By going to the West Coast, you still have to contend with not only a Golden State, but you also have to contend with a Houston that almost knocked Golden State off if it wasn't for Chris Paul getting hurt. Contend with a San Antonio who we still don't know what they're whoever they trade Kawhi Leonard to, what they're going to get back in the trade to see how their team is going to stack up. You don't know where Kawhi Leonard's going, but you do know that teams right now are going to restructure their whole team based on what LeBron did by going to the Lakers.
Where does educate me? Where does Ball stand in all this?
Oh, Lonzo Ball, it probably helps him the most because now he has like a cushion. Because this kid, I'm not going to say he's not talented, but he looked very super talented being 6'6 in college. But now you're in the pros. You're a 6'6 point guard that's skinny in the ass. It's going to give him time to actually grow and mature as a person because he's not going to have all that pressure on him. Because LeBron is a ball-dominant player. He commands the ball. He likes to bring it up a lot. So your point guard isn't going to have the ball in his hands as much as a traditional point guard because he's on LeBron James' team. And because he's playing with LeBron James, he's going to get to learn ins and outs of fundamental basketball at its basics because that's one of the things that make LeBron great. He's, when it comes to the basic skills, LeBron got them all in addition to his athletic and skills that he has that no other person can match. He has all the basics. The guy has floor vision, all that. So it's going to help Alonzo Ball tremendously because he's going to get a chance to grow without the pressure of having to be the main ball handler. And he's going to be able to play off the ball, so he'll get a chance to work on his little three-point jumper.
And he'll have a mentor in LeBron James.
You said it. And,
so
and like I said, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's a lot of young talent on that Laker team. So, like, barring a trade that takes away from LeBron, LeBron got a better team than he had in Cleveland, and he took that team to the finals.
Now, where does the East stand in all this? Because the way you're talking, that they pretty much don't have a chance with the West being so stacked. But LeBron and Curry is eventually going to cancel each other out, them both being in the West. So you're saying for the competitiveness, you would rather see LeBron, not to put words in your mouth, but just so these guys can end up facing each other, you know what I'm saying, in the finals, or would you just rather see them, these guys just go ahead, go up and up and cancel each other out?
Who's the superstar in the East?
I don't know. I'm thinking D Wade. I don't know.
Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, ask that question to anybody, and there's going to be a pause. There's going to be a pause because the real closest thing you're going to get to the superstar is Kyrie Irving. With LeBron leaving, that's the only thing. The East wasn't prepared for LeBron exodus. There's nobody to carry the torch. You know what I'm saying? The other next best team to Cleveland was Toronto, and that's DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Who's your superstar in the East? LeBron was the superstar in the East. The West had Kevin Durant and James Harden, Chris Paul. But who's your superstar in the East? You don't have one. And that's the only thing that bothers me about LeBron going to L.A. because the East wasn't prepared. There's nobody that was there that can now carry the mantle and say, that's the team. I want to go watch this team in the East. Even though LeBron James is gone, I want to watch this team in the East. There's no team that makes you want to watch them. There's no player that's going to make you want to watch that team. And that's what LeBron did. He changed the whole trajectory. So a lot of players are going to have to change how they play, and they're going to be looking to hit it big in college to try to find the next superstar, whether it's guard, center, power forward. I mean, you might say Joel Embiid, but, you know, LeBron left the East pretty much vacant, covered bare with superstar.
Now, where do the Cavs go from here?
Well, that's $35 million off the books. I mean, problem with the Cleveland Cavs is it's not a destination where free agents want to come to. So even though you got a decent team, just took $35 million off your cap, so you can get another max free agent and another player. But who's going to want to come to Cleveland to live there? There's nothing there. When you can go to another place, which actually probably gives you a better chance to win anyway. So this right here, it kind of destroys Cleveland unless they hit it big somewhere. They got to hit it big like they did when LeBron left and they got Kyrie Irving. Boom. You ran into another superstar. That held Cleveland down. But right now, who's going to sell tickets? Colin Sexton? Most people don't even know who that guy is. I mean, he's their rookie. Cleveland's hurt right now. Cleveland's hurting big time right now. Because as you've seen with LeBron in the finals, he carried that team to the finals. That team is a bunch of people that can't really shoot and score.
And you have the last word. And why I have you on here, I wanted to shoot something at you because it was, you know, a lot of those memes that come up, and I was like, you know what, this would be a nice little real quick conversation. And this is the Late Night Hype with Smoke show, the Sunday Funday show. And I seen this thing, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to run this across a couple of guys on the show the next time I seen it. And it's not really a debate, it's really a discussion. And I'm going to name the album, and you're going to get the name of the tune. You know what I'm saying? As soon as it pops up. Method Man, Takao, 2000, Judgment Day, GZA, Beneath the Surface, Raekwon, Immobility, and Inspector Deck, Uncontrolled Substance. And I'm sure you know what that is. That is... Mm-hmm. Everybody's pretty much everybody's second album from the Klan.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like, I'm not trying to rate them per se, but it was saying that I wanted to see that if we can go into a Rolodex, I can say that we can see, like, did people decline or did they step their game up? And I can say, from the Raekwon, he declined. He showed some decline from the Purple Tape going to this Immobility.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes when we look for that second one, we look for growth. And a lot of people might not agree with this. Everybody thinks that Nas's first was it. I've always was the second one. It was written was the more complete album for me. I thought that was the classic album. Not to say that the first one, Illmatic, wasn't, but I seen a growth in Nas. You understand?
Right.
And I seen a growth. I mean, he got with the right people, and he grew. It was like a clearer album. The production was more crisp. You know what I mean? And it was just like, but when I go to the corn, I'm like, he kind of declined on that. I mean, I don't know where he went. What do you think? And I'm just throwing it out there. This is just conversation. I have no notes. You know what I mean? We're just shooting the shit.
Right.
You think that if Ghost, because Ghost wasn't there to go back and forth to kind of challenge him, to kind of, you know, to push him, think, you know what I mean? Because this, he was pretty much on his own. I don't think there was too many features on him. You know what I mean?
Right. I think with Ray, he topped out so high on his first joint that it was hard for him to show or even grow. And the only way he could have really grew, not to say that he quit, but the only way I think he could have is to leave the Wu behind and do collabos with artists that were on his level. Because some guys, they need, in order for them to take that next step, they need that challenge. They need that guy that brings the best out of them. And then they bounce back, and then they end up, you know, taking it somewhere they've never taken it before. And I think Ray was one of those dudes. It's not, he had other dudes almost as talented as he was in the room, but they weren't as talented enough to be able to push him. So where he came in at, it was like, where do I go from here? I mean, anybody I rhyme with, their rhymes ain't as good as mine. Mine stand out, but what I put out there at the first, it's like I'm putting out killer rhymes right now on my second album. But it's really only as good as what I did in my first album or just a little bit more, so you don't even know the difference. So I think that's what happened with Ray.
I'm gonna say like this. I'm looking at the track list, and no, Ghostface is not even on there. I'm going to say like this, dude. And I'm not a guy, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep it right here. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep it right where we're at. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a guy, I'm not a what have you done for me lately guy. I'm kind of a guy that's probably not one, it's not a whack rapper to me, probably, because I'm probably going to leave like one song from you. So on that, you're not whack. I just probably don't like your complete body of work. Okay?
Right.
But I think that Raekwon is still living off that Purple tape. Now, if you look at everybody else, like Method Man came back with Red, and then he came back with other things. Ghostface came back with other things. You know what I mean? All the other Nondiscreet Clan, I mean, even Old Dirty came back with a nice CD after, rest in peace. I think that Raekwon is, I mean, if you look at anybody, and if you look at anybody in rap, with the exception, I'm talking about from this new era, that Jay-Z, Biggie era, okay? There's people that has other bodies of work. And we said, okay,
right.
Yeah. Raekwon only has this Purple tape.
You're right. I can't even argue with you with that. And why? It's a mystery.
Now, people. Now, hold on, real quick, because I'm going to play devil's advocate to the people. People will include the Wu-Tang Clan, the stuff he did with the Wu-Tang Clan. Okay. But again, we don't recognize Master Killer for the stuff he does for the Wu. I mean, I'm not gonna say that. You know what I'm saying? We do recognize Master Killer for the contributions, but we've never been waiting for a solo album. Even like You God, it's like we like them, but nobody's putting them in that top 10 of MCs.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if Raekwon does shows today, he's doing shit from that Purple tape. I guarantee you he's not doing stuff from a Marbellari or any of this stuff in between. Now, the Purple tape 2 was jamming. I'll give him that. But I'm talking about people from that era that we was working with heavy, at least. I mean, even Biggie got 2 classics under his belt.
Right. You're right. You're right. I don't know when it comes to Ray. I don't know. Because he's a rapping enigma, man. Because he had all the skills, and you just, like, wonder what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Now, see, we might give Nas a hard... See, a lot of people give Nas a hard time is because, not that he can't rhyme, it's really because his beat selection.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Raekwon has access to one of the top producers in the game. And then, you know, even the other underlink guys like Mathematics and all those guys. And just imagine the work he did with Pete Rock and all these guys.
Right.
And it was just like, but Nas still delivered good bodies of work after that Illmatic. After, you know what I'm saying? Like, we put, like, all right, let's talk about it. Now, any artist you might say that has a classic has probably been earlier in their career than later in their career. Can we kind of agree with that?
Right.
Like, there's not too many people that I don't, like, respectfully, I don't see Ice Cube making another America's Most Wanted.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, only person that really has really did it, and that was really on a production side, was probably like a Dr. Dre. But you got to figure that the Chronic 2001 is damn near a decade old.
Yeah. Yeah. 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people gave Jay-Z a classic, but my thing is, all right, if it's a classic, but Jay-Z has other classics that we can reference to besides Reasonable Doubt.
Right. And you're right. They all got more than one as a body of work to fall back on. And Ray does only just got the Purple Tape. His formula, whatever it is that he did when he went into the second tape, there was just, I don't know. Drake to me is kind of like Raekwon. On, he hit a certain level and he stayed there. And I think Ray just hit it too soon and didn't know what to do to go from there. Because he had the ability. He definitely had the ability.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, it's just that I think that we give him a pass about the Purple Tape. Now, it's like, again, I'm sure when he performs, he's performing a lot of music from that Purple Tape.
I mean, if that's still going on, that's crazy, because I get it why they first gave him a pass. Because when you listen to that Purple Tape, I mean, it's a real classic. Like, it's people connected to that tape. Just in artistry, and the flow, he hit it on a lot of facets. So they want to, you know, I can understand giving them a pass whenever you come out for your sophomore album and you're not as good, because it's like, damn, it's hard to come back after that. But, I mean, he's had enough time now that he, in the end, when you look at it, it's like, why didn't he show no growth? Because he was the most wanted six groups. It's one of the reasons why Method Man still makes music right now and still relevant.
I can't hear you, Chuck. Breaking up a little bit, brother.
I'm sorry. I said it's why Method Man could probably stick and make music that's still relevant.
He does. He does. Hello? Maybe we might have lost that, brother. Yeah, but like I was saying, folks, you know what I mean? If if it wasn't for that purple tape, I don't think that Raekwon would be admired. Think he would. I don't think he would be somebody that we would I don't think hip hop is as forgiven these days as we were back then. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, but then again, if it was these days, you probably would have never even heard of Purple Tape from Raekwon. You know what I'm saying? Probably wouldn't have heard the great classic five-star album. And let's be clear, Raekwon can rap his ass off. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, everybody we had prior, but everybody that we said that had a classic album ended up having a classic album after the first one we deemed as classic. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Fun with it. Don't forget to check me out on World E Radio Network. You dig? But let me go into this little clip right here. And let's see. Let me go into a little quick music break. Up Smoke Radio, let's go.
Let some love shine on through. head.